Well,
thanks everybody for popping in this informal affair. We're going to have a little introduction session, quick around the place, a little bit of a fun to get sort of warmed up and get the juices flowing. Okay, this is Elizabeth. Elizabeth Sawyer Bayliss. She's a companion in the Northumbria community. She fell off her bicycle yesterday and hurt her knee. She's camping in a little tent up there. She runs an organisation called Social Action for Health, which is a campaign and mainly a community development organisation.
Good morning, everyone, or afternoon by now. This is Ted Sawyer, who is my husband. And he's got many strings to his bow. He's a community chaplain. He makes friends with people in our area, on the street. And he renovates 2CV cars. And he's a dog whisperer.
Right. Now, this is where the game starts. Okay, now, some of you are already in little groups, and because you might know each other, and we're not going to split you up. That's fine. That's great. No problem at all. But to start off, we're going to happen in twos. So just introduce yourself to the person next to you, no matter how well you know that person. Introduce yourself. Say something about yourself to that person. Then, this is happening now while I'm talking. Yeah, that's fine. Then, you want you to stand up, everybody, now, and go to the next two people. Or you can wander if you want to the other side. Wander around, that's fine. But find another two people. Stick together in your twos. Then match up with another two and make a group of four. And don't introduce yourself. Introduce your partner to the other two people. All right? So you're no longer introducing yourself to anybody. You're introducing somebody else. The four, get up. I'm going to make eight with another four.
Yeah, you need to be four now.
Yeah.
A new four. You need to find another two to join up with into a four. That's it. And then that four needs to find another four.
Right. Quick, very, very quick introductions. Rapid fire. It's a bit like speed dating. Only even more promiscuous. Short-lived relationships. Okay, so you're in a group of eight. Not introducing yourself. Introduce the person next to you or anybody that you can introduce. Introduce them.
Eight. Another four. Give us time.
Hospitality.
Time.
Oh, you're running short of time. You're running short of time. Only one lifetime to discover the art of hospitality. Okay, now your group of eight, go over and meet the next group of eight and see if you can make that one work. Go over with your eight, move over, marry up with the next group of eight and see what you can do there. See if you can get round and just introduce. Each one of you has a responsibility to introduce somebody else. And it's complicated, and there isn't a completely right way of doing it. And it doesn't matter if you make mistakes. But everybody try to make the effort to introduce somebody else and say something about somebody else. Right. Yeah, and the other aspect of the hospitality, of course, is just noticing other people's, limitations at moving around, other people's shyness, and helping them through that.
like to join our
group. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We've got to make sure these are sorted out.
Thank you. We just got invited to join a group there, so they get a gold star in that group. It's not really competitive, but, you know. Right, now is the time, if you've got your food, to get your food out. We were going to try and get everybody in one big group, but we're not going to do that now. If you've got some food with you, if it's a packet of peanuts, share it out. That was the that was part of the idea to... Sit down where you are, make yourself comfortable where you are. And if you've just drifted in, or if you haven't sort of quite made your mind up and you want to just sort of tag on to a group now, but you're going to have a discussion in your group. Right, if you haven't got anything to share, look, there's a packet of seeds there. Pass them round. Open up the seats and pass them round. Okay, I'm going to hand you over to Elizabeth now for the next bit.
Okay, so hopefully you know somebody else that you didn't know before we started. Some people are getting stuck in and sharing food. If you want to just get on with it, there's bits of food on that table as well if you haven't brought anything and you're really desperate. It is lunchtime after all. So now what we want you to do is to think about what it feels like to receive hospitality or to give hospitality. And we're going to do a free think. Oh, look, all this food is coming out there. Okay, we're going to do a free think now where you need to, if you could just think of one word, just one word, to describe what it feels like to receive hospitality. Just call out the words and they'll get written up. One word to describe what it feels like to receive hospitality. Pardon? Friendly. Special. Warm. Sense of belonging.
Right. Pace it a bit.
Inclusive. Sorry, we've got to slow down a bit. Friendly, warm, inclusive, special. That's it. Not in the way. Ordinary. Ordinary. Welcoming. Loved. What was that?
Fun.
Part of the family.
Comforting.
Wanted.
Good.
Hang on, that's it. Wanted. Good. Humble.
Belonging.
Relieved. Yes, relieved. Thank goodness. Thank God. Relieved. Open. Open.
Patient.
Satisfied.
Thankful.
Equal.
Accepting.
At home.
Nervous.
Yet nervous.
Receiving hospitality can make you feel nervous. Shy. Safe as well, safe too. Nervous, shy. Grateful. Okay, so now we're turning it round. So what does it feel like to give hospitality? To give hospitality.
Expensive.
Did everybody hear expensive? Fun. Pardon? Vulnerable. Hang on a minute. Vulnerable and apprehensive. Fun. Natural. Wait a minute. We're expecting Ted to. He's not got the.
Natural. Expensive and natural.
Expensive, natural. What was the others there that we've. Nervousness. Vulnerable.
This is giving.
Generous. We've lost one.
Apprehensive.
Fun. Exciting.
Stressful.
Exciting, stressful.
Supportive.
Open. Open. Exhausting.
Time consuming.
Creating a space. Yep. Creating a space, satisfying.
Relief.
Relief when the washing up is done. Let's just slow down a bit here. Yep. Widening horizons. And then spontaneous. Company.
Life-giving.
Loving. Learning.
Spontaneous company, loving.
Life-giving.
Opportunity.
Great. There was one that, what? Did somebody say? No? Okay, so now we're going to go on to the next question for you all, which is again in the same sort of way. We'll do a free think. And this is about why. Why is hospitality an issue? Why do we think it's important? Why are you here? And I'll just ask Ted to say why he thinks hospitality is important.
Yeah. I had a chance to think about this before, and I had a chance to look up all the Bible verses and all that sort of thing. But in the end, I just thought I had to say that for me... It's in my bones, and I can't stop myself from doing it. So there was a sense of somebody said relief there. So for me, it's a relief if I can do it, if I can find the opportunity.
Other people, why is hospitality important, both receiving and giving? Jesus said, whatever you do to others, you do to me. Let's just... Yep, fellowship. When you've got a need and you've had hospitality, you feel the value of it, yeah. Sharing the good things. Practicing compassion. Pardon? Appreciation.
Yeah, becoming friends with people by spending time with them. Deepening relationships. Stops you becoming so absorbed with yourself and your own life. Willing to sacrifice time to prepare and be with other people.
Being open to God's surprise visitors.
Being open to God's surprise visitors. Enriching lives. Yeah. Creating a wider, different kind of family. John?
Entertaining angels unawares.
Reaching out. Things like food help you cross social and cultural boundaries. Yeah, a sense of inviting Jesus if we see other people as Jesus, if we see Jesus in other people. It's probably. Why don't you say it with a mic, Francis?
It's probably the one thing that the church needs much more today than ever before, and it's probably the only way we're going to actually make progress today. I don't think many churches are hospitable, not in the real sense of the word. So I'm sorry, I'm preaching a sermon. I beg your pardon.
You'll have chance to say it.
Any other ministers care to...
Now, let's get on to the next bit now, which is you in groups. We want you to share your experience. One of the reasons that we were keen to for this session to take place was so that we could hear from everybody who comes to Greenbelt what their own experiences of hospitality are, both giving it and receiving it, and to hear what sort of impact it's had on your lives. Now, it seems like we have enough groups. We might need to group a few people together so that it's not a good idea to have more than 10 in a group. I think maybe if we could have 8 people in each group. And what we want you to do is to describe your own experiences of either giving or receiving hospitality. And talk, you've got 20, 25 minutes for this. This is where you have your chance to tell the sorts of things you've been doing in areas. And then what we want you to do is to identify one person from your group who would be willing to come and talk to the rest of us in the whole group about that you think you will have to open to move on in your work of hospitality. What the key issues that emerge from people's different experiences that you'll hear that you need to overcome in order to move on to the next stage of your work on hospitality. Did you get that? Okay. You've got 25 minutes. And I would suggest you go into groups of no more than 8 if you can possibly do it. Yes?
Yes. Yes. Let's share something now. Let's share something. We're not asking for a representative in the groups. So, please, tell us what it is. Maybe it was something that was an issue before you came here, and it's highlighted for you. Maybe it's an issue that's come up for you while you've been in here. But please, will you come forward and share it? You just come up to the mic.
So what's the challenge?
Okay, we've got the first person. Now, if you're going to be the next person, come up when you're ready. You can stand here and then we can keep it flowing without any gaps. Let's just keep the sharing, let's keep the rhythm going.
Something we talked about in our group was about asking for hospitality, because sometimes it was easier for people to go, oh, I've got something that I can help you with, rather than offering help, which people don't necessarily receive. So for me, it was asking people to feed my cat or to lend me their ladder. And it was through that, through asking for help, that I created relationships and we started engaging each other's lives, rather than being in the stronger position of offering help.
One of the challenges we talked about was the problem of it being a complex, big event, that, you know, this special thing to put on a hospitality, but then it's so much work that you dread doing it again. So it was really, we thought a solution to that would be really make it as simple as possible and as relaxed as possible, so that it's just more about the gathering and it's something you can do more regularly, a really basic meal.
The challenge to keep giving even though you know you're not going to receive anything back.
We talked a bit about the boundaries of when you offer your friendship to somebody and then they want to be with you all the time. That where how acceptable is it to draw a line and or not let people know where you live if you know they're going to be around every day, that kind of thing. Do we have to give all of ourselves all of the time, or is it okay to draw a line and that kind of space?
Our group was amazing, and I'm feeling very moved by it, simply because we each recognise that each of us is incredibly vulnerable for various reasons, for physical reasons, emotional, mental, spiritual, yet with all those vulnerabilities, we chose to come to a workshop about community, which means to me that we have it's an issue of vulnerability or control. And I think people who are interested in community are those who want to be vulnerable, but it's really difficult because we all have deep grief, deep feelings of wanting to be included. And I think that was just, I think, possibly what came from our group, the need to be loved and the need to want to show love, but we all each need to be upheld and uplifted.
We looked at hospitality in a range of ways. Quite a lot was taught of church level hospitality, the dilemmas of a new curate, how do you make everyone in church feel valued and where do you start and begin the politics of hospitality, through to, I think, the challenge of a realistic assessment of how hospitable you are, whether it's you as an individual or as a church, and how churches can often believe that they are hospitable when actually are they really? And quite a lot of conversation was around cliques and that kind of stuff. Then on the personal level, just the challenge of hospitality. For me, as an example, stay-at-home mum, yes, I'd love to be hospitable, but my child's an introvert who'd rather hide in the toilet whenever someone comes round. How do you have those heavy conversations? So, I mean, the challenge of when is it appropriate to be hospitable, I think, and how do you do it? Good intentions can't always work with the practical side. A few thoughts.
Comments? People got comments? Or somebody else is coming up. If you want to respond to somebody, something that somebody said, please do come. This is about speaking out back to the whole group now, so it would be really good if people were willing to do something.
Make your mind up now that you're going to be the next person after this lady.
I think one of the big things that has come from our group, two people in particular have spoken about how they have deliberately set about keeping home open and welcoming to anybody. Obviously, keeping an eye on the safety aspect of it, but in a very sacrificial way, and I think that is a wonderful example. And may I just also mention one church idea, which is to provide a meal on a Sunday for homeless people, and Sainsbury's will provide the food free. And this is out of date food, but it's still fresh. And so a meal is provided for homeless people, 70, and then that is followed by worship and prayer time afterwards. And what a wonderful ministry that is.
Lovely, thanks.
Just as we were chatting about our different, what we feel we can offer for hospitality, I grew up in a community, so I never had my own space as a family. So for me, giving hospitality in my own home is an easy thing and an automatic assumption, whereas other people didn't grow up in families like that, and so they feel they can give hospitality in other ways that they feel more comfortable. And I'm pregnant, and I'm also thinking about what I want to do for my kids and what I would like to encourage them to grow up in, you know. The thing about hiding in the loo and stuff like that, you know, definitely some kids are like that, and some kids grow up in a setting where it's, you know, it's a lot more free form kind of thing. So, yeah.
There may be someone who feels inhibited about coming forward, doesn't feel so mobile or is a bit shy. Just wave and I'll bring the microphone over to you. But if you can get up, please do.
I lived out in Africa for 10 years, and the homes out there, they just, breaking it now, they just come in willy-nilly. Here, we don't do that. And the first thing they say in Africa is, not what you do for a living, you're saved. But taking that space, you need your own space or whatever, Jesus times with the people, yeah, but your time he withdrew for his own security. And you're not sanctuary. So we need both. Because if we keep giving out, you're going to break down. And then you go to no one. So you do need your own time and space to recharge your own batteries. And you need somebody you can talk to fill your CF when you keep giving out.
Yeah. Somebody spoke about boundaries, and one thing what we've developed and found out that it's really nervous up here, isn't it? One thing we've noticed about boundaries is that if you get the eldership to cover you in whatever you do, then they develop the boundaries, and then they reinforce them. Then you'd have to, but yeah, I'm really nervous. Then you'd have to actually stipulate anything, and when people come back to you and say, well, that's really tough, you just say, I'm really sorry, but that's what my eldership have said.
Share responsibility.
It's also a matter of heart as well, and doing things with the right attitude, and in the mundanity of washing up 50 cups or whatever it is, finding that place where you're actually doing it to God, for God, and that you can have that time actually where you don't have to think about what you're doing, but you can actually be praying while you're doing it and find that special place in the mundanity of life.
Is this one on? Yeah. Thinking about what we've been discussing, and we all come from kind of sort of dysfunctional backgrounds in one way or another, and I just wonder whether we need to take more seriously the idea of giving guidelines and giving input into the communities that we live in church to help people be hospitable, because we don't know all the answers, we don't know all the ins and outs of it. And it just seems to me that because there's that lack from where we come from, that we need constant reminders of how to do things.
Sorry. Don't apologise if you want to come back. Anybody that's already spoken, if you want to comment on something. But keeping it sort of in this area of challenge.
I'm really blessed by what you've just said, but I have to respond because I grew up in an environment where love wasn't a very big thing. It was about 2 years before my mum died that I started to love her. And you know what? It's something that I said to God about 5 years ago. Look, God, you are love, and if you are love, then as a Christian, I should be able to know what love is. And I should know what love is from what divine love is, not from what human equivalent is. And a human equivalent of anything of God is limited, because it's not the fullness of God, because it's what we can obtain as a human comparison. And in what you've just said there about that, I feel as though having sort of gone to God and said, look, I want to know what love is. I want to understand love on a different level. I want to understand what love is from you. I believe that God's been showing me something of his heart of what love is. And as a result of that, I feel it's a strength in me now. I've gone from having something that I used to weep in utter desperation to understand what love is, and felt that I was a loveless person, and I've come round full circle in many ways. So actually, when you were saying at the beginning about being hospitable, I'm not in a place where I can be hospitable. I work nights. I'm asleep by day. And yeah, for me, my home environment isn't an environment at the moment where I can be, but I feel as though there's something burning inside me to be hospitable and to grow in that place. And actually, it's a weakness for me. But I find such joy in that, because when I'm weak in something, actually, that's when God can step in and bring about a fullness of greater revelation of him, of what being hospitable is, and actually doing it in his strength and doing it with his mandate, not my mandate, and growing in that place, and offering to people something of God that humans and people that don't know God can't give. We can be hospitable in God's way, not in our way. And not in human limited way. Sorry.
Okay, I'm not drawing a line, but okay, carry on.
Our church, every 5 weeks or so, every 5 weeks at our church, we have a faith dinner. And everybody from the church comes. So we have people who are single, divorced, all sorts of things. And we'll also do a Christmas dinner. And in New Year, so when the celebrations were, people got families and no one's there, the community is there for the people. And we also go and do the homeless as well. So we have ongoing that, but it's on a Sunday, which after service we can get to know each other. And we have two different services, so each service can meet together and get to know each other. So that's something you can also do.
Just as a response to the chap who was saying maybe we need to be given some ideas about how we go about doing this whole hospitality thing, I just want to recommend the book Heavenly Party by Michelle Guinness, which is just full of really fantastic ideas about how you can create hospitality and celebrations in your own home, that you can invite people along to. But it just gives some very practical and very inspiring ideas about how to really do it. And secondly, also just a plea really for those people to support and validate people in the community who are maybe not working and spending more time doing things like offering hospitality, just to validate that it is important. Because I know as a mum of three who's not working at the moment but is trying to incorporate the whole hospitality thing in my life, people are still saying, so, you know, what do you do with your time and when are you going to go back to work and all this sort of stuff. And it's very hard to feel that hospitality is something that's important. So just if you know people who are trying to do the hospitality thing, just to really validate them, encourage them, and do read the book. It's ever so good. Thank you.
Okay, validation. I'm going to share. Please come back after I've said this, but it's an appropriate time to just share a brief anecdote with you. A white minister moving into a ministry in an inner city area with a majority of the congregation from an Afro-Caribbean area had a wonderful ministry, and when he finished his term of ministry, had a lovely party, and people gave him a good send-off. And he said, I've had such a wonderful time. People have been so kind. And he said, when I came here, I was very nervous that I would fit in, that I would... But people said to me, you might find that you're not accepted, that people are a bit, they might be nervous of you, and they'll keep you at a distance. And one of the elders, one of the leaders in that community, came forward and said a few words, and he said, yes, we've had other ministers here. All the ministers that we've had have been white. The majority of us now in these congregations are black. He said, but you did something that none of the other ministers did. You came to our homes and you ate our food. So I think there's a sort of giving in receiving, which answers one or two of the points that came up earlier.
Yeah, I just want to say that I don't think you have to have a home to be hospitable. We've talked quite a lot about sharing food or inviting people into your own houses, and you were saying that you're not able to invite people to your own home because you're a night worker. But that I think hospitality is more of an attitude, really, rather than a set of rules or actions that we do. We talked a little bit in our small group about how rules can make a clique of people and a group mentality about hospitality, and then it kind of falls down to everybody else to have a responsibility for it. But about taking ownership of that in ourselves and just being like changed by Jesus and like being a bit more like Jesus, who like was his hospitable wherever he went, which was like just by, I don't know, like listening to people and having time with people wherever you are. If you're, you know, talking to the woman at the well, not that we do that in everyday life, but you know, do you know what I mean? Like having polos in your bag to give to someone at the bus stop, or having always a packet of tissues with you if someone's having a sneeze, or I don't know, you know, like finding other ways in which we can just be hospitable by loving people everywhere, wherever we are, actually is hospitality as well.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're having to wind up. Just one word that to reflect on, maybe, which is something that came out of what you just said now. It's just maybe there's something about not being in control. That to be hospitable is to allow yourself not to be in control. And there's a question about what we do. There's loads and loads. Love to hear all these stories. I bet there's some wonderful stories in your groups, and we just keep on wondering how to capture the work that you're doing out in where you live, and the thoughts that you're having about how to give and receive. I don't know if anybody's got any ideas about whether there might be some sort of email network created, or whether somebody's a whiz and could do it, or whether there's any ideas at all about whether there's if there's a group already or a website already that we might hook this stuff into so that you could share your experiences online. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts about that. Anybody? Oh, there's somebody there with their hand up. John.
Just a couple of ideas I've came up with just thinking through, just stuff top of my head, is I'm connected with a network called The Touching Place, which is a kind of network of people living in or people wanting to live in community. And we've got a website, which I think I remember off the top of my head. It's something like www.touchingplace.org or .com, something like that. If you Google in Touching Place, you should get through to our website. We also do a online newsletter and also printed newsletter. The other idea we're thinking of, if anybody's a whiz kid at doing it, is kind of getting something set up on one of these social networking sites like Facebook, Yahoo, or whatever. That's just kind of two ideas that I've thought off the top of my head.
It would be really good to share this learning and share some of the fear and challenges. We have to finish now, so thank you all. I hope it's been useful just to create a space for your reflection. So enjoy the rest of Greenbelt.